B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. It's a beautiful day today. Sun is out, and we are in a nestled spot as a Philadelphia sports fan. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. A lot of people I ran into, they were complaining about the Sixers. And I'm trying to tell them, hold on. You got to hold on. You got to wait. You got to wait until Embiid gets back. You got to wait until his team hopefully forces it to get together by playoff time. We are in a holding pattern with the Sixers, but we're not disappointed. The Sixers are a very good team that can contend. We are already overwhelmingly excited about the Philadelphia Phillies and Bryce Harper. And this buzz has been going on for a lot of years. A lot of weeks and days. Philadelphia Eagles made some moves today to cut some costs. I believe they have a plan to get it back together to compete for something for next year. And, of course, we're looking at the Flyers in a desperate move to try to make the playoffs. But here's the thing that accompanies improvement on teams. We knew, and we weren't kind of con ourselves, that when they signed Bryce Harper, some of that money was going to be passed on to the consumer. So what I want to find out today is how you feel about that. Now, as it comes to the Phillies and Bryce Harper and no salary cap, I don't mind it. With teams with a salary cap that are trying to maximize their dollars to put the best team on the floor or on the ice, I got a problem with it. I got a problem with ticket prices being raised. Now, I know why they do it. The Sixers did it because they had Simmons and Embiid, and they had two stars that everybody was going to follow. And in the marketing department, you take advantage of situations like that. So the Sixers raised their prices. I didn't hear many complaints because we were watching Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and we were watching a team that was going to eventually be at the top of the Eastern Conference. So we're not talking about that increase now. Now that they've added Butler, now that they've added Tobias Harris, now that they have one of the best starting fives in the league, we're not worried about the increase. The Flyers yesterday announced an increase. Now, the reason why they did it is because they had kind of one marketable star that they realized, they put their ear out there, they heard people talking about Carter Hart being the savior for this franchise. So rather than wait a year, when maybe Carter Hart took a step backwards, Carter Hart new on the scene, fresh in people's mind, they don't mind paying the ticket increase. I got a problem with it. And I want to know if you have a problem with it. Here's the thing. Trying to boil this down to its simplest form. If you improve your team to the point where you can win a championship, I don't think it matters for the consumer to pay extra money. It hurts. There's no question. You have to get deeper into your budget. You may have to break your budget. But at the end of the day in Philadelphia, if you're paying that extra money for tickets to follow a winning team, it does not sting as much as if you follow a team that's not ready to win. And right now, that team is the Flyers. They're not ready to win, and they increase tickets. So I want to hear from everybody, not just Flyer fans who may be discontented, or maybe you're not discontented. I want to hear from people who know that these ticket prices are going to increase. There are two things here. One is the pursuit of stars. And in that pursuit of stars, we don't factor in the price increase that you're going to get. It's all about, let's get Bryce Harper. I don't care how much it costs. It's not our money. Technically, it is our money because you know they're going to slide a price increase in here. And the Phillies, if they don't do it this year, they're going to do it next year because they have a marketable star. And that's a golden goose for a professional sports organization. So I want to talk about that, first of all. You know, there's so many things to talk about here. We're coming down the home stretch of what could be a really successful season. The Sixers have to come through. The Phillies have to come through. The Eagles have to have a great offseason. So we go into August in camp thinking they have a chance to do something. We have to look at how Carson Wentz plays in that preseason. There's all kinds of exciting stuff going on in Philadelphia sports. But I'm wondering about the price increase connection to you as the consumer and whether you resent that or whether you're okay with it. Now, I can sit here as a press guy and go, I'm okay with it. You know, I'm not buying the season ticket. I got a pass. I can get in, right? So I got to take myself out of it. I'm trying to put myself in the fans' place on what they have to do to rearrange their life to actually go to these games now because the ticket prices are going up and up. Now, the one thing I said a couple days ago, death taxes, ticket price increase. It's not going to stop whether they sign Bryce Harper or whether the Flyers have Carter Hart or whether the Sixers have Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. It's never going to stop. The prices are going to go up and up and up and up and up and up because that's what sports is. People need sports in this town. And when you need sports, you got to bite the bullet. You got to go, man, these tickets are high. I hate paying for parking. I hate the concessions. I take a family of two. It's going to cost me $150. Where do I make that back? It's a tough dilemma for people. But it's softened when you go to the park and you're watching a team that you know can win 95 games or you know can win 54 games in the NBA and get to the playoffs and maybe play for an Eastern Conference final. Or whether you get in the playoffs as a division champion where you get home field advantage in NFL football. All that pays off. And if it doesn't pay off, it hurts harder. So Tyrone, I'll go to you as a consumer now, not as a press guy, because we all have our press passes and we all can go to any game we want. As a consumer, do you think it is fair for us to absorb these increases knowing that right now, Philadelphia sports is at a pretty high ebb?
I don't think it's fair because there hasn't been enough winning yet. This is what I would prefer. Flyers, make the playoffs. Because last year they lost in the first round. This year, don't send it out now like they did yesterday. Wait a couple of weeks. Let's see if you guys can actually get in the playoffs so I see what I'm paying for. Sixers even. And I know people have not had a problem with the increase. But they've won one playoff series, and they're raising prices, both in salary cap sports, like you said. And they're not paying any luxury tax yet. So why am I paying them extra for their new video board and for their renovations? It bothers me. And the other part is the concessions when you get it. So I looked up that Mercedes-Benz Stadium thing that I thought about yesterday. You can get a soda for $2 in that stadium. You can get a beer for $5. You can get a cheeseburger.
This is Atlanta.
This is in Atlanta.
And now, they did that to compensate for the ticket price increase.
Now, here's the thing. They now have it set up. When their revenues go up, their concessions go down. So these prices will be cheaper this season. So they're not posting it, but they're going to be less than $5 for a beer. Yes, than $5 for a cheeseburger.
Yes.
My issue with these stadiums is that in addition to the ticket and parking increases, concessions also increase. They get you every single way. And I just cannot imagine having a family of four and being able to afford it with braces and private school.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine.
But here's what your organizations know. Whether you can afford it or not, they're still buying. And that's what they know. And it might be unfair. It might be this unfair avenue of capitalism. But supply and demand applies here. And whether you don't have the money or not, and there are a lot of people who don't have money for sports tickets, they find the money somewhere and they cut it from another venue and they put it in their sports tickets because they need that entertainment. Now, I will tell you that I resent very deeply the reason people are being given for these price increases is that we're doing renovations. The renovations should have nothing to do with me. Should have nothing to do with you as Joe Fan. The renovations, if they want to do it, should have everything to do with the organizations themselves, with the corporate entity. You have the deep pockets. The fans don't have the deep pockets. You can't expect the fans to pay for your project because you want to make the building look nicer. I mean, I resent that part of it. I don't resent the part where they're getting better players at higher salaries and then they're passing that on to the consumer. Because I get something out of that. I get winning. I get to feel good about winning. What am I going to feel good about? I see a beautiful hallway. I see like some kind of foyer that they built upstairs in the Wells Fargo Center. I mean, that only goes so far. So that's where I can't believe that they're telling fans that they're paying for the renovations and ticket prices are going to go up because we screwed up in the first place and we didn't make the thing as nice as we should have. And everybody else did. And everybody else outdid us. Well, guess what? You bear the cost of that, Holmes. All right, we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. We'll talk about other stuff also, like the Eagles and a couple moves they made, which was a little surprising. And the Sixers without Embiid again, and whether you think this is problematic as we come down the stretch, and whether they actually can get the third seed, or all this stuff going to derail them getting the third seed, and will they stay in the fourth seed and have to play the Boston Celtics in the first round? And if they do, is it possible they could lose in the first round? And what would you think about that? We're back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's 2:18. It is the Mike Misnelli Show, the 2 o'clock hour, brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention, HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll with Natalie Eganoff, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention, all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement, and they're in stock. Just visit paulbmoyer.com for details. What is today's Twitter poll, Nat?
Hello, Mike. Today's poll, if you had to estimate how much money do you invest in Philadelphia sports games, that's tickets and concessions, over the course of a year. Over 700 votes on this early. 45% say 0 to 500. 30% say 500 to 1,000. Mm-hmm. 19% say $1,000 to $5,000. And 6% say $5,000
plus. All right. So the underlying question is this. When does it matter to you how much you pay? It's a simple question, but it has very different layers to it. And again, when we're riding high in Philadelphia, you rarely hear people talk about the price of tickets. They talk about it when they're not getting the product. Now, if you go to Phillies games this year, you're going to get product. That's why there's going to be 40,000 people in the building every night, like in 2008 when there was product. So I think the same thing's going to happen, but I don't know. And that's why I'm asking. I want people to really, because I don't think people have taken inventory yet of what this means when all these teams in Philadelphia sports are good. Because basically what it means is you're going to get banged for more money. It's really simple. It goes hand in hand. They strike. Like, the Flyers were smart, even though it's kind of a weasel move. Had the Flyers not brought up Carter Hart, the Flyers would not have raised tickets, in my opinion. They brought up a marketable star who gave the fan base hope. And hope makes you want to dig into your pocket a little easier. Am I right on that or am I wrong?
No, you're right on that, but that bothers me. I like paying for performance. I'll pay whatever you want me. Like the Eagles, because they won the Super Bowl, and I know they didn't repeat, but they got back to the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They almost can charge me whatever they want. Because Super Bowl, you follow that with a playoff win the next year. It doesn't last forever. But right now, Eagles, whatever you want, you can charge because you've won. Mm-hmm. You've performed.
Yep.
The Sixers, to me, is still premature. The Phillies is premature. And for the Flyers, it still bothers me because it's premature.
Oh, the logical viewpoint is it's premature. But you're not in the boardroom of marketing people. And marketing people came into this year with the Sixers and said, listen, you know, they did pretty damn good last year. We established two stars. There's all these national stories about the Sixers being the it team. You got Embiid, Simmons. They're not ready to win yet because they lost to Boston last year. But this coming year, there's going to be more enthusiasm and optimism. Bang! There's the time to raise ticket prices. Flyers, the same thing. They're going to the boardroom. They go, listen, Carter Hart has given some energy to this team. People are now not afraid to spend a dollar for the Flyers as long as this guy is here. Bang, let's hit him now. Because we never know when he's going to go bad. It's smart marketing across the board.
You're absolutely right. The other person, if you don't mind, I would like to talk to are the people. HDTV keeps getting better.
Mm-hmm.
People watch it on their, they're able to watch it on their apps, mm-hmm. their computers. Is it less compelling to go to games now with these prices, with all the available technology? Next year, they're going to have this VR, NBA VR, where you can wear the thing, and it's like you're sitting courtside. Does that push you away with the high prices, how good TV has gotten compared to how it was?
Did it push Sixer fans away this year?
It hasn't. No,
it has not. It has not, because that's the place to be. When that arena is raucous, that's the place to be. Citizens Bank Park will be the place to be this summer.
You're probably
and they
right.
take advantage of that feeling. And they hit you hard. Now, me, when you win, you got me. You know, I'm up against the wall. Because I want to see the winning part of it. And to see the winning part of it, I'm going to have to pay a little more. All right, one other thing I wanted to get into before I got back to the phones. And this was a subject that I actually wanted to talk about last week. But Nick Foles is in the news again today on whether he's going to sign with Jacksonville. And I was just reading a story from a Jacksonville reporter who said it'd be a big mistake if Jacksonville signs Nick Foles. But that's not the issue. The issue is something we had last week within the building where it was suggested by various executives that we should hold a thank Nick Foles party on the air. Now, here's where I stand because I'm more of an old school guy. The old school guy in me says, Nick Foles is a dead subject to me. I know what he did, but he's gone, and there's no more compelling conversation that attaches to Nick Foles. No longer is he a subject to talk about. There's nothing to see here. He's continuing his career somewhere else. He had his moments here, fine. I don't know, I was against the notion that we would have to hold some kind of a seance for Nick Foles, where we all sit around candles and thank him for his contributions here. Now, I could be wrong about that, and I wanted to throw it out to the people. Would that have been a right thing to do? Thank Nick Foles for what he did here. Because what he did here, listen, I know what he did here success-wise, but he was a temp. He was a Kelly girl getting called in to type. And he did a damn good job typing. He didn't have to use whiteout.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, that's the way I feel about it.
No,
he's like long gone. Like, when he's gone, why should we waste our time thanking him for what he did? It's been kind of removed, what he did.
I think we already have thanked him.
Yeah, we've talked glowingly about the guy.
Yeah, I think the moment has passed, personally.
Right, because in my view, if you do something like that, and this is what I try to explain to the people who suggested this, it's like, hi, it's Bob from Belmar, and I'd like to thank Nick Foles for doing a damn good job for the Eagles and bringing us the Super Bowl. Okay, Bob, you got anything else? No. All right, next caller. You know, so there's no conversation. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, and I think it would be more pertinent if he had left last year, maybe. It would have been a little bit more timely, but I think it played its course out.
Right, the second year he didn't win.
Right, Yeah.
So we've had time now has passed to the point where he won and a point where he was a decent quarterback that brought him to a certain level.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about Nick Foles.
You love Nick Foles.
I love Nick Foles, but I think, yeah, I don't, it's something if somebody would like to share well wishes, I guess that's fine, but it's, I don't think it's anything to harp on.
How's everyone doing?
I wanted to throw it out there for the people, because like I say, I go by my instincts in Sports Talk Radio. My instincts aren't always right. Maybe there are people out there that were denied the opportunity to thank Nicky.
But didn't he also buy his freedom? They picked up the $20 million option.
What is freedom?
He said, here's $2 million right. for me to get out of this city. Right. So at this point, bye. You didn't want to stay.
What we learned from him was that he wasn't the good soldier who loved Philadelphia so that he only wanted to be a backup for $7 million here. That's what we learned.
He could have made 20.
So what are we thanking him for, exactly? He did his job. He was a backup quarterback. Backup quarterback supposed to go in there and try their best to win. He did, and he won. And nothing is to be taken away from him. But as far as he's a dead subject to me now, like, I won't give him another thought.
Unless he goes to the Giants.
Even then.
He goes to the Giants. I want him to go to the Giants. I think it's easier for the Eagles to deal with a guy in their own division because they know him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
True.
And to be honest with you, I thank him, but I don't really wish him any success because I'm an Eagles fan, and I want the Eagles to succeed. Yeah, I only root for Eagles players.
I don't wish him any ill will.
Right? I'm saying,
God bless you, kid. Go out, and make some money. And my sense is you're not going to be nearly as successful as you were here, and that'll play itself out. But I don't know that. Maybe he'll be a stud. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm out. With Nick.
Yeah,
see ya.
Well, you know I've been out.
Thanks for hanging here for a little bit. Did a nice job. All right, let's go to Steve in Philly. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
I'm calling because you're okay with them raising ticket prices when they bring in a superstar.
I said it's more tolerable when they win.
All right. How about the 3 years that they tanked and didn't lower prices? And on the contrary, didn't even say, we feel your pain.
Yeah, they didn't raise prices, though.
Oh, yes, they did.
Did they raise prices,
Dorian? Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't raise ticket prices every year. They may have.
But if you raise them when you bring in a winning team, why wouldn't you lower them when you deliberately?
Yeah, well, you know, come on. Dude, where are you living, on Mars?
Right. Wait,
no professional organization is ever going to lower tickets. Like I tried to tell you before, debt taxes and tickets.
Well, they're raising them again next year. Mine went up by 28%.
I know they did, Steve. So I'm asking you the question. Do you resent that or are you okay with it because this is now a city of at least three winning contenders?
Well, it's going to get to a point where they're going to price themselves out of the market. And I'm with you. You know, at a certain point, tickets are only worth so much money. I'd rather
they
watch
will them. Never price themselves out of the market. People are like junkies with heroin when it comes to sports. You can raise the price in the alleys, and junkies are still going to buy. Sports fans are still going to buy tickets. Am I right?
Well, I don't disagree. But
you see a junkie go down an alley? H is too high. Nope.
Haven't been in an alley recently. But I will say one thing. Sixers are the place to be.
All right, bro. You got it, Steve. They got lower tickets? They're low prices in the alley?
Not, well, no.
No. Why? Cause
I'm not aware.
Because they fiends.
You in the wire.
Right?
You in the wire.
Because they dope addicts. Well, we're sports addicts.
Yes, drugs sell themselves and good teams sell themselves
sports
as well.
Sports sell itself. Not even good teams. Sports do to a certain extent. The Phillies, by right, should never have gotten 23,000 fans a year last year.
That's true. It was a boring product.
Exactly.
They weren't going to win.
It's a 14,000 team that was.
23 was still
they
showing up.
They got 23.
Yeah.
Mike and Bluebell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Well, anybody named Mike can't be all bad. I always said that.
There you go.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
I was, it's pretty obvious that Matt Klentak had a pretty good winter.
He did.
I think they improved themselves in two major areas. The one that's been talked about and very obvious is offensively with Harper and Segura and Remuto and McCutcheon in left field. I think one area that they needed to improve even more so is in defense, and they improved themselves markedly there.
Yes, they did.
I think the two important positions, shortstop and catcher, I think they were about as bad as you could be in both those, and they are now excellent in both those positions.
I totally agree.
And in left field, also, they improved. First base is questionable. I was watching the beginning of the Phillies game, and our new first baseman dropped the pop-up. So,
yeah, well, listen, he's not going to be Keith Hernandez, but he's going to be fine there.
I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He's a little unknown. I think it's a little downtick off of what the guy they had there before. Santana was a pretty decent fielder.
Yeah, he was a pretty good fielder.
Okay, now the area where I think Klentak whiffed was last summer at the trade deadline. There were two very good left-handed starting pitchers available.
Hamels
and Hap.
Hamels was going to cost you $24 million in his last year of his contract at age 36. So I don't blame them one bit. Now, the Hap thing is confusing. I don't know why they didn't go a little higher for Hap.
Well, he also lost Hap in the free agent market.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The free agent market, I thought that they could have really bagged him for a couple of years.
Well, he was certainly available and a good option.
I can't criticize them for not having the perfect team. Like they've got as good a team as they could put together right now.
Well, they certainly could use a little more pitching.
But you got to look at it this way. This is a team whose offense is going to make up for the lack of pitching in certain slots of their staff.
So they're going to have to. And that's what they did in 2008.
That's exactly right. So you know what they did then. Why can't they do the same now?
No, I think they maybe were a little stronger pitching-wise in 2008. Well,
they were with who? They had one ace.
Right.
And they had a guy who had a fluke year who threw 85 miles an hour.
Moyer.
Yeah, right. And who else?
Brett Myers.
Brett Myers was mediocre.
He ended up as a relief pitcher, a pretty good closer.
Yeah, but he was mediocre as a starter. So what other starters did they have beyond those first two?
Well, come on now. I'm 77. I don't even remember what the hell
they threw out Adam Eaton. They threw out Joe Blanton. They had Kyle Kendrick taking an everyday turn. Come on, man.
I don't disagree. And you got their young studs certainly have the arms. I think like Velasquez.
Yeah, they don't have the arms. Forget about their arms. I mean, you know, let's not try to make better on what they are. They are what they are, which means this is what you're going to have to work around.
And Egan pointed out a good point. In 2008, Myers was sent down in the middle of the season, and he was the number two starter in the playoffs. We can't pretend that those were good starters. A guy who was sent down because he was such a mess.
He came back and was okay when he came back, but he wasn't lights out.
No.
His ERA was like 4.5, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the home run that he hit that was him and Blanton scrambled with their pitching staff.
Now, Jamie Moyer had a lifetime season.
Yeah, the question
is, happens.
Can Arrieta be what Moyer was that year? Because Arrieta looks, he claims that the knee in the second half, can he be what Moyer was? If Nola's Nola, then we need Arrieta to be what Moyer was, be solid enough and eat enough innings to where everybody else can kind of fall in place. And you can use that bullpen the other
three nights. Jamie Moyer, I mean, this might have been his best year. He almost threw 200 innings. He went 16-7 with a 3.71 ERA.
Right now,
Myers had a losing record, 4.5 ERA. Kyle Kendrick was up at 549. Adam Eaton, 580 before he got zipped out of here. And then Blanton came in and was at 420. But the relief pitching carried him. Lynch, Durbin, Mattson, Condrey, Romero, Cienez. Flash Gordon had some moments that year. Scott Air, late season. Remember they brought in this big black dude from the minor leagues named Les Walrond?
No. Why am I blanking on Les Walrond?
I don't know why you blanked on Les Walrond. They brought him up from AAA. And he didn't fare very well.
Couldn't hit?
No, he was a pitcher.
Oh. No, I don't know.
He was a relief pitcher.
No.
Yeah, Les Walrond.
How many appearances did he have?
He had, he was in six games.
Because I saw every game that season.
Brought him from the minor leagues late because they needed some arms.
Yeah, Charlie wasn't big on that September thing either.
Cienez was in 42 games. Flash Gordon was in 34 games that year.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. But JC was lights out from the left side.
Yeah, no, he was lights
out. And Mattson and Durbin were fantastic with Condrey. Their ERAs were all low that year. Bum in Erie Avenue. What's up, Bum?
Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, first time, long time, Mike.
Thanks, pal.
Yo, man, like, I don't know what's wrong with us, man. Like, we need, like, how can I say it? Like, we proving them right, man. Like, because I'm one of them crazy Philly fans. How can we not pay, like, you got to pay for quality.
And yeah, so you don't mind the ticket increase. If the team does right by you, you're okay.
Exactly. And I love the reference you use because, you know, back in my heyday, you know, I was in that field as the junkies.
Uh-huh.
Like, you ain't never lie. I had to pay top dollar, you know, in order for me to make top dollar.
Product week, a fiend gonna pay double. Right?
Yeah, man, Mike, like, it's just crazy. It's like, we gotta get together. We gotta embrace this. We got 10-plus years of excellence. Like, you said, guarantee within 10 years, we're going to have 3 championships. I give it 3 within 10 years. If we keep the same core and they stay, you know, they gel together.
You're talking about the Phillies. 3 for the Phillies? That might be a bit of much to ask. I would see at least 2 World Series championships with this team.
I agree. I can see 2. But the only way I say 3 is, you know, we get the magic guy out there in the outfield. I give it 3-4. But if we don't, like, with the little nucleus we got now, I can see 2 championships with, like, at a starting, like a starting pick.
Yeah,
like
I'm not sure it happens this year. I think they could be a contender. I think in 2020 they're the World Series favorite.
I agree. But I think we're going to make some noise this year. I think, like, we on the radar, but I think they're looking at us like we overrated. And it's like, we look good on paper. Like, you know, a lot of teams that look good on paper never pan out on the field. Like, we look excellent on paper. Like, we got almost every, like, position player can hit 20-plus home runs besides Cesar. And he can have a breakout year. And even if he don't hit 20-plus home runs, he can bat over 300.
So you talking about Hernandez?
Yeah, Hernandez.
He's the least of my worries. But I'm worried about 7 other dudes. Hernandez gives you what he gives you.
That's it. Like, I say a year for Hernandez, a good year for him. I say 15 home runs, about 50 ribbies, and about 20 stolen bases. You think that's too much for him?
Yeah, because Kingery might take over his job.
I forgot about Scotty Jetpacks.
Jetpacks! Don't forget about Jetpacks!
I forgot about Jetpacks, man.
We'll see if he finally comes to fruition this year, Jetpacks. I mean, that was the bottom line, was he was going to be their starting second baseman. They were going to move Hernandez. So now they got him in the role where he can fill in at third, fill in at second, fill in at short. It's a good role for the kid. I don't know if it helps his batting average, but it's a good role for the Phillies to have a guy like that who can play all those positions.
Yeah, it helps the Phillies. Him. I don't know. Is he going to be the worst batter in baseball like he was last year?
Who, Kingery?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was the worst batter with the amount of at-bats he had in all of baseball last year. He was horrendous.
He was.
And does he, but he was a young guy, but does a slow bat on a young guy ever get quicker?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he gets stronger.
Well, he should be stronger.
Supposed to be stronger. If you're stronger, you're going to be quicker.
Because he hit some doubles last year once he caught up to it, but he just, I'm skeptical.
Yeah, he was overmatched last year. Maybe this year he's not. 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. It's a good time to get in. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I've been telling you about Harry's razors for years. Just got a nice box from Harry's. I love the closest and comfortable smooth glide that Harry's provides. Really great razors. I get the best shave with Harry's. So join the 10 million who have already tried Harry's. You'll get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. All you have to do is use the code FANATIC at harrys.com. Now, Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. So they fixed the problem and created a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a very fair price. And all the blades come with a 100% guarantee. For a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for my listeners. New customers get $5 off a trial set, which brings the price down to $3 plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get the razor, the handle, the foaming shave gel, travel cover, $3. Just use the code FANATIC at checkout. Go to harrys.com today and tell them Mike Miss sent you. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Again, we'll be doing the show Thursday and Friday in spring training with all kinds of interesting guests, and you can guess that the guests that we will be having on the air. We won't settle. So we'll have fun down there, and we'll get all the pertinent people to talk to the folks that listen to this great radio station. Other than flimsy interviews that you may hear on other stations from guys who can't interview. I'm just saying. Some guys get coffee. Some guys work for the Eagles. And some guys can do interviews.
Oh, Mike.
Let's go to Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Mike, I've always wanted to tell you that our connection, sometimes the phone just goes dead if you're talking or if I'm talking. I'm not a fast talker, so I'm going to try to get in my own.
Yes,
point.
That's not our end. We got the supersonic connection that we never lose. It's your connection.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to find out. All right. Nick Foles, I gave my love for Nick Foles. I'm done.
No more love for him?
I'm done.
It was suggested that we should have a love fest for Nick Foles.
Let's go Carson. Now, for the Sixers, I don't believe in the Vegas line. I believe in good health.
Uh-huh.
So, gotta have good health. Now, what I want to talk about is all four teams. I think that in the next 10 years, I think there'll be three championships brought to Philadelphia between all four teams.
Three championships, I like it. I'll settle for two. So you got the Eagles, you got the Sixers, and you've got the Phillies winning in 2020 or this year.
I just have between all four teams, even the Flyers now.
Flyers don't win a championship next year.
I'm saying in the next 10 years.
Next 10 years.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, dude, I could be dead by then. I need to talk. I need to talk more currently here.
In the next, look. How about this? Next 5 to 10 years.
Next 5 to 10 years? You don't think that there could be three championships in the year 2020? Think about it logically.
Mike, I hope so. Three is my favorite number.
Uh-huh.
I hope so.
Well, you got Bryce Harper's, too.
Yeah, man. All right, Mike.
All right, bro. I don't know. Like, in 1980, everybody was a contender. Everybody went to the finals. I don't know why three of four can't go to the finals in 2020. The way they're set up, me, it seems perfect. Mark and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mark.
Mike, good afternoon.
What's up, Mark?
You are 100% right on this ticket issue. I'm a longtime Sixer and Flyer season ticket holder,
mm-hmm.
and I'll compare the two organizations for you. Scott O'Neill and the Sixers group, 100% market-driven. They raise prices when the market allows them to do it, and my tickets have value. So I gladly play the increase because I gain the increase.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, I'm retired, so I go to about 35 games a year, Flyers, 35 Sixers. I have my tickets to go. I'm not interested in selling them.
Okay.
But my Sixers tickets have value. And when they raise my tickets this year 30%, I'll still get that. If I miss a game,
if you want to sell
I can sell that ticket, and it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
The Flyers, and you've correctly identified this, they are a club. They don't raise tickets by market. They raise it by people aren't going to quit the club.
Well, no, that's part of it, but they couldn't justify other than having a marketable star. And when they brought the kid up, they reasoned, okay, let's take an increase now because people are really interested in this Carter Hart guy. Let's take advantage of it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take advantage of it. The Sixers didn't do that. During the process, no ticket increases. First year of Embiid, slight ticket increase.
Mm-hmm.
It's only in the past year that they really went to the 30% increase.
Yeah, because they realized they're now a contender.
They're now a contender.
Mm-hmm. The Flyers, don't get me wrong, I think the Flyers jumped the gun on it. But I can see why their marketing people were eager to do it because of Carter Hart.
But I told them I canceled my tickets.
You did?
For Flyers. I don't like the way they do business.
Wow.
I'm not going to support that.
All right. I can't say they're wrong. Like, if I'm a marketing guy, I'm not a marketing guy, but I was a marketing guy, and I think in those terms constantly. I go, okay, how do we make more revenue for this team? Carter Hart came up. Everybody's excited. Read the tea leaves. Listen. Put your ear out there. They're excited about him. We have a little bit of immunity to raise ticket prices because people love this Carter Hart. They may invest in it now. So let's do it now. I can see that strategy completely. But when you're telling your season ticket holders, and like five people have already told me, they have been told by the organization, well, we increased ticket prices because we went through all kinds of renovations. That's where I go, huh? Are you kidding me? You want me to pay for your renovations?
I'm floored that is what they're saying.
They're telling people that.
That's like going to the Acme and then like raising prices and saying, well, we're paying for you to come shop here.
Hey, Flyers.
It makes no sense.
I like to put a nice patio in my backyard. I'm a season ticket holder. Would you come pay for my reservations? Renovations? No, they didn't do that, right?
That has nothing to do with the consumer.
First of all, that building was built drably.
Yeah.
It's a drab building. You look at everybody else's building and how it looks on TNT or on the National Hockey League telecast when they had the helicopter shot. They all look sensational.
Well, it's crazy.
It's almost
25 years old now.
It's an old building now.
But when they designed it, there had no pizzazz to it.
But it was state-of-the-art at the time.
It may have been state-of-the-art inside, but outside it had absolutely no appeal.
No. And if we're honest, it's not in the best location it could have been. There was talk about it being in other places.
Yeah, but once they put it there, make it look nice.
Yeah, it looks nicer, though.
Make it look splashy.
With the glass now, it looks good.
It does look nice,
looks good.
It's all right. They still have that white brick thing on the
well, that's
outside.
That's good. It's all baby steps. That's all part of the renovation. And the 4K board is going to be great. It's just, how does it help my experience? Other than that board, which isn't in yet, the glass didn't help my experience as a consumer. It made the building look nice for their aesthetic.
I will say the new like bars that they put in the upper levels, those are really nice. And because they're so accessible to the people who have those seats higher up, you really don't have to go
up at
far.
That mezzanine level.
Yeah,
up
those
there.
Mezzanine bars are nice. I've seen a lot of the reservations. They're nice, but the fans didn't ask for that.
Wait, what do you see from up there?
You can see the bar, but
you see ants.
Well,
from up there.
But
they have sweets.
It enhances
up there
the
those
experience.
Sweets. You can't see anything either.
They got sweets in there.
I know the guy. I've been in those sweets.
So have I.
Players look like they're this big. They look like Wii characters.
Well,
did you have Wii?
Yeah,
I know Wii.
Yeah, I like the Wii.
Did you?
Yeah, I did the bowling.
Did you do
the baseball?
Did you do Wii golf?
I did the Wii golf.
Wii golf was so fun.
My niece bought Wii and brought it down the shore and hooked it up. I can't play with little goofy people like that.
Well, it's a video game. You can't play with a goofy game. It's a video.
I need reality. I don't need these little bouncing around globe heads.
It's a game.
It was fun.
It wasn't fun.
The Wii was a big seller and fun.
I was playing with globe heads. I wasn't playing with real people.
You're the first person I've ever met that said the Wii wasn't fun.
I know.
It was unanimous.
They were little trolls with globe heads.
They were cute. And then you could make one look like you.
My guy would do his little dance when he won in Mario Kart or whatever. It was great. I love the Wii.
And then you made them look like you. So did you?
We bowling. I'm bowling 300.
Out of here with that. Put a face on somebody. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.